Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. Our guest today on Voices is a Slidell resident, Mike Piazza. Mike is a businessman, a leadership trainer, a coach, a facilitator with 30-plus years of experience. He works for a Fortune 200 company, and he's a leadership life coach, I guess you'd say, and is active in just helping people to be better than they were yesterday. Appreciate you spending time with us today, Mike.
Bob, glad to be here and glad to be part of the show.
Thank you. You know, with all of the finger-pointing and everything that goes on in our country today, it just seems like we're always in controversy about something. Somebody saying that we didn't do what we should have done, and people kind of working at us and trying to build themselves up on account of us. But you know, sometimes there really are real failures in life. Sometimes there really are some setbacks that we experience. And, you know, dealing with disappointments and setbacks and failures, I guess, it seems like kind of a harsh word, but dealing with those things as leaders can be something of a difficult thing. Sometimes leaders think they always need to be right. If I'm the leader, I cannot make a mistake. I cannot do anything wrong. Do you have any thoughts on dealing with setbacks or failures or just your own disappointments?
Yes, Bob, I do. And actually, I'd just like to quote a quick scripture from Philippians 2. It says, "Each of you should not look at your own interests, but the interests of others." And when we looking just at our own interests and our own well-being and our own promotability or whatever it may be, we tend to struggle because we're going to have setbacks and failures as a leader. They're inevitable. How you handle them is so important as a leader. There's a saying that, you know, anybody can hold the helm of a ship in calm seas, but imagine that ship in rough seas jagged rocks. That's when you really find out who's the skilled person. And that's what we fail to do as leaders today, is understanding that when there's setbacks and failures, you have to raise your hand and take accountability for those things. And I just don't see it enough in our leaders in this country. I don't see it in business leaders enough. And sadly, even in church leaders, we don't raise our hand and say, hey, I have to take responsibility for what's going on in my business, my congregation, my country.
Well, being an old guy, I remember Harry Truman had a sign on his desk that says, the buck stops here. Rarely do we see that today. It's always somebody else's fault. It's the circumstances. If I did something wrong, it was not my fault. Yeah. And we look to put the blame off on others, on situations, on circumstances, rather than stepping up to the plate, if you will. How is it that a leader can effectively step up to the plate? I mean, you don't want to say, well, I don't know what I'm doing and I'm totally lost. But at the same time, if you've made a mistake, you want to be able to, I guess, live up to it.
Yes, I mean, if you've made a mistake, the people that you're leading or stewarding over are looking at you to see how you handle it. Are you going to handle that problem or that opportunity with integrity and earn their trust, or are you going to shift blame and put yourself above them? And they're going to see that, and they're going to lose integrity in you. That is the key leadership trait that we look for today, is do you have integrity in what you're doing? And if you fail to have that, it's almost impossible to earn it back. Yeah. So your people are watching you, and they're looking to see if you're going to have these certain traits. And when you don't do the thing that you should be doing, and you fail to have that integrity when it comes to problems, your people are not going to respect you. They're actually going to work counterintuitive to what you're actually trying to get accomplished.
When you talk about responding to the mistake, I suspect that the people that you're involved with, leading, they know you made a mistake. And
yes,
you know you made a mistake. So the answer is not to say why you made the mistake, but it really is the process of how you deal with it is a whole lot more important, probably, than the error that was made in the first place.
Exactly. They're looking for your integrity. They're looking to see if you're going to be honest and own up to the thing that happened. I look at leaders today, they show up at the problem with a gallon of gasoline and a gallon of water, and there's a fire. That problem, that opportunity represents a fire. They're either going to throw the gas on it or they're going to throw the water on it. And your integrity and your honesty and your truthfulness in front of your people is putting out that fire, no matter what it looks like, because they now know, hey, I can trust Mike. I can trust Bob in this circumstance. And they will let their guard down and they'll go to battle for you.
You used an interesting word there. You said the word was take a negative situation as an opportunity.
Yes.
That was an interesting choice of words. You know, some of us may say, oh my gosh, I got to deal with this thing. How am I going to do it? But if I'm taking it as an opportunity, it seems to imply that there's something else going on here.
There is. There's a true learning curve in the middle of that opportunity. And the learning curve is how am I going to respond around all these jagged rocks? I'm holding the helm of the ship. Am I going to panic, lose my integrity, and lose my honesty in an effort to try and look good for a moment? Or am I going to stand up and be counted as a leader? And again, we're missing this element in church and in organizations. I'm not naming anybody in specific, but you can see it. It's all around us.
You know, I guess a large part of this is that of taking responsibility. If we take responsibility, does that mean that, what does that mean to take responsibility? Am I going to have to pay to fix it? Is it my responsibility to fix it? I don't know what responsibility means. If we say we're going to take responsibility as a leader, what does that mean? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, so if you're a leader in an organization, group, church, or whatever, things are inevitably going to go wrong. There are going to be setbacks. There's going to be problems. And as a leader, you have to understand that's what you are. Everything rises and falls around the leader, whether we believe that or not. And if you don't raise your hand when there's an opportunity or a problem and say, hey, I'm going to own this problem and I'm going to work to correct it or fix it or stop it from ever happening again, and you try and shift blame and point the finger at whoever, right then and there you've lost what I call the integrity piece of your leadership skills, because the people want to be promoted up. When things are going great, you need to be boasting and promoting your people. And when things are going rough, you got to raise your hand and help them understand, I'm going to take ownership of this problem, no matter who caused it. You have to, as the leader, you have to take ownership.
But, you know, even if there's responsibility, it doesn't always have to be about a problem.
No.
It can also be about taking responsibility to seeing that a vision happens. If you've got a goal, an objective, if you're going someplace, somebody's got to take responsibility to turn the lights on. Somebody has to take responsibility, and sometimes the lights don't always come on.
That's exactly right, and that's when we start to put key people around us, and that was kind of leading into my next comment, is that we have to be developing key people around us, people that are actionable, people that are trainable and coachable, and then help them elevate to a level where you can truly delegate the things you need to delegate to the business or organization to make it very functionable. And once you're able to do that and learn those skills, that's one of the most important pieces of being a key leader, is learning how to train and coach your team, not just evaluate, train and coach your team, and get them to a place where they can take delegation properly and understand what that looks like.
Are you saying that as a leader, I do not need to possess all of the individual skills that are required to accomplish a goal or a vision?
Yeah, I think if you try to do that, you're going to set yourself up to fail, and you're going to set your business, church, organization up to fail, and even, again, countries fail because of the leader tries to take ownership of everything and every decision. Look at Moses as an example. He was trying to do everything, and his father-in-law had to come along and say, hey, you can't do everything. You have to divide this out amongst other leaders. And that's what I'm saying today, is if you're a micromanager leader that won't let your people make any decisions or participate in any way, you go home exhausted, frustrated, angry. You can just name all the problems you're going to have as a leader.
So not only is accomplishing the goal important, but building up and developing leaders so that they can walk with you towards this finish line to see that this thing happens.
Yes, people are really anxious to be led, but they're anxious to please their leaders. And what I mean by that is, you go through training and coaching and developing people, you're going to see them blossom in a way that you've never seen them blossom before. You find out their unique skills and you put them in a position to succeed. You really see everything start thriving.
It seems to be implicit in all of this that leadership has a lot to do with giving direction, with helping people to find their gifts. But how do you communicate the vision in such a way is that you're not saying, do this my way because I said, and helping me to reach the goal? What are some of the skills in communication that would that would facilitate the developing of people, that would help you in your taking responsibility to make it happen? What role does communication play, and what are some of the key parts of that for us today?
So if to be an effective communicator, you have to understand the skills around communication. One of the workshops we offer is coaching and developing people. And that workshop, we actually take you and your key leaders or team members through a process of interactive live training where you're not just sitting down listening to a speaker, you're actually going through the processes of what does effective communication look like, what does the consensus decision-making look like,
okay,
and how do you work together to come up with a decision as a group, as a leader, to be effective as a team going forward to meet those visions and goals. Too many times we get bogged down on projects or visions because we have never really sat down and got the team on the same page. We're kind of working in silos around the business or around the church organization. That is a problem today, and that's why businesses stumble and stagger and fail. You have to understand what communication really looks like, what skills are needed, what does paraphrasing look like. A lot of times we're talking to people, but we're looking at our watch or our cell phone, and they've shut off. I mean, God's given us ears, and He designed those ears to never close, unlike our mouth. Sometimes we just need to close our mouth and turn on our ears and be a great listener to the team because they have most of the great ideas.
So listening is a part of leading?
Listening is a key role of leading, and in understanding that you have to paraphrase that back to the speaker so they understand they was heard. How many times have we listened and not been heard? So we have to understand that they want to know they was heard. They want to know their opportunity, they're part of the project, or whatever we're working towards is being heard.
Well, it seems like it works both ways. As you explained, the goal and the vision is the leader. You would also hope that they would paraphrase back to you what they heard, because I've been in conversations before, and maybe you too have been in a conversation before where you say one thing and somebody else hears another, and you both walk out the room with totally different ideas about what's going on.
Yes, that's a great point about a skill train. Being skill trained in leadership is just that, knowing when and when not to speak and when to ask questions and when to paraphrase and when to do these different skills. It's all part of the communication piece. If I tell my son to go clean his room, his vision of cleaning his room may be to pull a sheet back. My vision is totally different. So we have to, here's the steps that I'm looking for, and this is what I would expect from you. And I want him to say to me, you know, tell me what he heard me say.
Okay.
So we got to work those things, but it starts at home and it goes from there.
I can see that. Sending the young men in your home out to cut the grass may not be exactly the same in your mind and theirs as well.
Exactly.
All of these things you've talked about, you mentioned a couple of times, leadership training courses and workshops and things like that. If somebody wanted to learn more about this and make themselves available to this, how do they go about that? Is there a way we can contact you?
Yeah, Bob, you can reach me at email. FRM, that's Focus, Refresh, Motivate. It's just FRM@mail.com. Very simple. And you can email me, ask me questions there, or I can call you and we can talk about what maybe your business may be looking for. But we offer multiple courses from leadership style training to coaching and developing people to using sound judgment or even leading courageously, which to me is a great course to help people understand when they will fall back from leadership responsibilities because they don't understand what to do. And that's a big problem today.
Taking advantage of a course or a workshop really gives you an opportunity to customize. I mean, that when you go to the bookstore, there's shelf after shelf of motivational and leadership books. But until you apply it to yourself and to your situation, and somebody maybe can give you an honest evaluation of what they hear from you, it sounds like that's really a key important part of training as a leader. Not just reading the books, not just gaining a list of these are 10 things that effective people do, but how do I physically and actually apply them to my life?
Bob, that's a great point. I can watch all the YouTube videos I want on a sport. I can actually go get the magazines, but until I practically apply them from a skilled trainer, I probably am not going to be very effective at that goal of being a great leader. And we help you practically apply those things in live interactive training with your team and help you develop the team to another level where you can actually see these interactions working in every single day.
Well, Mike, is there anything else that you'd like to add for our listeners today?
So I just wanted to say in closing that understand there's characteristic traits of a leader such as honesty, integrity, compassion, empowerment. Those are characteristic traits, but there's also skill traits like organizational, action planning, decision making, time management, delegation skills. Those are all the things we really help people focus on is skill training, because the integrity part, I believe, and the empowerment part comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you have that relationship with Christ, He's going to help you develop and understand through the Holy Spirit all the things that you may be lacking. Because early years as a leader, Bob, I looked a lot different. I was very motivated by self. And I understood you cannot be an effective leader unless you learn to humble yourself. And I learned that through having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. What a great testimony. What a great skill. Every Christian needs to apply this skill to their life. You really helped us today to kind of see some of these things, and you've given us a way to maybe to improve our own skills. Could you tell us that email address again?
Yeah, it's just the simple letters of FRM, which stands for Focus, Refresh, Motivate, @mail.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mike. We really appreciate you being with us today. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning into Voices here on Grace Radio. And we want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037, where you can leave a comment or you can send a text. We'd also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can see what's going on with the station and leave us a comment there, too. The website is www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can leave a tax-deductible donation. We appreciate your support for this program and others like this. And again, send us a text. Let us hear from you, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.